Welcome to Wisconsin Public Media's coverage of Governor Tony Evers' first State of the State address. We are live at the Wisconsin State Capitol in Madison. In a few moments, Tony Evers, the 46th governor of Wisconsin, will make his way into the Assembly Chambers. He will speak tonight before the full legislature, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, his cabinet, and other statewide elected officials. Good evening. I'm Frederica Freiberg from Wisconsin Public Television.
And I'm Sean Johnson from Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the 104th Wisconsin Legislative Session.
Wisconsin State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss of Rochester will provide the Republican response following the governor's State of the State address tonight.
Tonight, Democratic Governor Tony Evers lays out his plans for 2019 after defeating two-time Republican incumbent Scott Walker in last November's election.
And with that said, we know that Governor Evers expects to highlight bipartisanship in tonight's speech, also going so far as to say that he would really call on the Republican leaders to work off his, Governor Evers' state budget as opposed to drafting their own.
It seems like, maybe a minor procedural thing, but this is what you're going to hear a lot of in the opening days of his administration, for sure, as this Republican legislature and this Democratic governor kind of feel each other out, look for an edge where they can get it, even as they speak pretty much daily about finding bipartisan, solutions.
Right. There is a lot of speaking, as you say, to that bipartisanship. But just today, on the Assembly floor, there was a pre-existing health care bill, and it did pass in a bipartisan way. But there were certainly Democrats on the other side of the aisle who took exception to that.
Right. Just so you know, sometimes.
The governor of the great state of Wisconsin, the Honorable Tony Evers.
The governor makes his way.
Sometimes when you're watching these things at home, there's a lot more of a run-up to the speech. I'll tell you, that all happened before you tuned in. Everybody's ready to get going here tonight. The governor's been waiting to walk through those doors for a few minutes now. Back here in the assembly parlor, you see him shaking hands now with lawmakers from both sides of the aisle. He's speaking with reaching out to the Democratic side there.
Maybe the governor and his folks wanted to get things going, given that there is this snow coming in. It was not as heavy as expected, but you were pointing out earlier, Sean, that when Governor Walker gave his first State of the State, it was one big snowstorm.
It's one of the first things I thought of, and then, it feels remarkable, and then yet again, this is Wisconsin, and it's
right.
Snowing in January, so maybe not so remarkable, but, that is one thing they have in common anyway. There's the governor now shaking hands with Democratic Senator Tim Cullen, Chief Justice Patience Rogensack, other members of the Supreme Court there to watch the speech.
We know that his family is up above watching. Looks as though people are ready for the governor, Tony Evers, to begin his first State of the State address.
Going to be a busy month or, busy few months for the governor. He had that inauguration address, the State of the State. He's going to give his first budget address, too. That's going to be in late February, a little later than usual, not as late as he had hoped.
At this time, it is my honor to introduce the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, the Honorable Tony Evers.
Good evening, honorable Supreme Court justices, tribal nation leaders, constitutional officers, How about if we start over? Start clapping again. I did that on purpose, sorry. Thank you and good evening, Honorable Supreme Court Justices, tribal nation leaders, constitutional officers, Major Dunbar, and members of the Wisconsin National Guard, as well as active and retired members of our armed forces, Senate President Roth, Majority Leader Fitzgerald, Minority Leader Schilling, Speaker Voss, and Minority Speaker, excuse me, Leader Hintz, Cabinet members, legislators, distinguished guests, and most importantly, the people of Wisconsin, welcome and thank you for being here tonight. Thank you. Before we get started, I also want to recognize someone else who's here with us tonight. He's a Wisconsin institution and embodies both the soul of our campus here in Madison and the spirit of our state. Marching band director and director of bands at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Dr. Mike Lacrone. Mike. This year marks the 50th and final year leading UW's marching band as he will be retiring at the end of this year. He's directed halftime shows for nearly half of Camp Randall's existence and has seen coaches and chancellors and band members come and go. But even more than the stop at the top or the fifth quarter post-game routines, the professor will be remembered for being a remarkable leader, teacher, and inspirer, not just for his students, but for people all across our great state. So tonight we honor the professor and thank him for his service. I'd also like to introduce my former junior prom date, Kathy, who's up there tonight in the gallery tonight. Kathleen, where are you? All my other kids and grandkids are, I'm sure, are watching from home. And I hope you're staying awake because this is probably the most important speech of your lifetime. And thank you, family, for supporting me. I love you all. So thank you very much. I'm Tony Evers, and I'm incredibly honored to be here tonight as the 46th governor of the great state of Wisconsin to say this. The state of our state is that we have work to do, and we're ready for bipartisan solutions. You know, a few weeks ago, I stood just outside of here where I took the oath of office and delivered my inaugural address. And I remind you today, just as I did weeks ago, of the spirit of our service, the power that we have, and the responsibility that we bear. We are a state forged by the Wisconsin idea, the notion that that education informs our public policy and that knowledge should embrace the communities we're called to serve. But today we're also a state among the worst to raise a black family, and we're a state that's spending more on corrections than our entire University of Wisconsin system. We are a state that once cultivated new technology from typewriters to automobiles. We've led the nation in innovation. But today, we are a state that's behind in broadband expansion and we trail the country in startups and small business creation. We are a state that was the birthplace of Badger Care, and we've been a laboratory for democracy. But today, we are also a state where it becomes cheaper to get health care by driving across the Mississippi River. The realities we face are bigger than yours truly or any political party. The magnitude of our challenge require us to put people first because, as I've said it before, that is the promise of our service. So tonight I'm asking you to join me in making good on that promise by moving forward together. Fixing our economy remains a top priority. That's why just this last week, I directed the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to create an innovation and entrepreneurship committee focusing on supporting our small businesses, seeding capital funds, and technology development. But there is more to an economy than counting job creation. And the state of our state is more than just our unemployment rate. The opportunity we have to offer is not just the number of jobs we create, it's counted too. It's counted too by the number of workers who will work 40 hours each week just to keep their family out of poverty. The strength of our success is not found solely in fiscal surplus, it's defined too by the number of our kids that will go to school hungry tomorrow. And the metric for my grandkids and your posterity is also not just what we keep in the coffers for a rainy day. It's measured, too, by the quality of the natural resources we're leaving behind for our kids and their grandkids after them. The state of our state is the work of Lisa, who is also in the gallery tonight. Lisa? Where are you, dear? Lisa is the founder and president of the Foundation for Black Women's Wellness. The Foundation serves more than 1,000 women and girls working to eliminate health disparities affecting Black women, their families, and their communities. Thanks so much, Lisa. I appreciate your great work. The state of our state is also about the story of Jen, who grew up in Cashton. Because of the Affordable Care Act, Jen has access to comprehensive, patient-centered care that is tailored to her needs. Being able to afford services and insurance has allowed Jen to take control of her health from preventative to reproductive to behavioral health care. Jen is also here in the gallery tonight. Thank you much, Jen. The state of our state is the story of Jose, who came to Abbotsford from Mexico with his parents when he was 12 years old. Jose learned English through Abbotsford's English as a Second Language program and gained a sense of community when he signed up to play baseball in high school. Jose decided to stay here in Wisconsin. He still lives in Abbotsford, where he is raising his sons, Marco and Nicholas, and coaches their baseball team, the Broncos, and he's becoming or he has become, excuse me, a naturalized citizen, and his son, Marco, and he are up in the gallery tonight. Please stand and be recognized. The story of our state is a story of students like Alex from Boyceville Middle School. Alex's teacher describes her as having the drive and passion that makes her such a strong student, and she's excited to come to work every single day. Alex has worked hard to turn things around in school and is now passing all of her classes, has no missed assignments, and has gone above and beyond to help other students too. And it's also the story of students like Diamond from Parker High School in Janesville, where the school nurse describes her as the strongest young lady she has had the pleasure of knowing. Diamond's family has had some tough times, but Diamond has persevered, is excelling in school, and has dreams of becoming a pediatrician or a pediatric nurse. Diamond is here in the gallery, and tonight I'm excited to announce that Alex and Diamond are first ever recipients of the Star Student Award in Wisconsin. Diamond, could you please stand? Way to go, Diamond. Great job. When I stood before you just a few weeks ago to deliver my inaugural address, I said it was time to get to work, and we have. But the real work, the hardest work, is yet to be done. Last month, Mandela and I traveled across the state listening to Wisconsinites talk about their values and their vision for the future. We talked about policies and solutions that connect the dots. I keep saying that, connecting the dots, and I've been asked several times, what in the world do I mean by that? It's about seeing the forest through the trees. It's about seeing the connection between how a lack of access to affordable housing affects kids in their classrooms. It's about seeing the connection between drug and alcohol addiction and becoming and the burgeoning criminal justice system. It's about seeing the connection between a budding entrepreneur who wants their own business and how the rising costs of health insurance might push that dream out of reach. The budget that I'll be introducing in the next couple weeks is about connecting those dots. And to no surprise, as it always has been for me, it starts with education. Connecting the dots means recognizing that what's best for our kids is best for our state. The investment we make in our kids today will yield dividends for generations. That's why our budget reaffirms our state commitment to our kids by returning to 2/3 funding for the schools across Wisconsin. And I was especially pleased to learn that the Speaker has encouraged his members to support this provision in our budget, and that I hope I can count on your support going forward. In addition to 2/3 funding, we're also going to make sure that we have the resources to support our kids with special needs. For the past decade, we've not only cut funding for our public schools, we've failed to fully fund services for special education. Now, this has forced local school districts and taxpayers to squeeze resources from other areas to provide these critical services. Our budget will provide an unprecedented $600 million increase in special education funding. This means our school districts will have enough to allocate the resources they do have to other areas of high need. And we're not just going to increase support for our kids with special needs. We're going to get to work in closing the achievement gap for low-income students and students of color. Our state's achievement gap is among the highest in the nation in reading and math scores. As state superintendent, I submitted proposals that would have helped address our state's achievement gap. Unfortunately, most of these proposals never made it through the legislative process. I believe this is a year they will. And my urban initiative programs will also empower minority students in our state's highest need districts by expanding early childhood education and summer school grant programs. It is urgent that we increase support for our low-income students and students of color. The longer we wait to invest in closing our achievement gap, the wider the gap will get and the more it will cost us in the long run. Finally, we're going to propose a five-fold increase in mental health programs for our K-12 kids across our state. But funding mental health programming in our schools is not enough. So tonight, we renew our commitment to making sure everybody has access to quality, affordable health care. We have already started working to make sure health care in Wisconsin is affordable and accessible. We signed executive orders creating a Healthy Communities Initiative and calling upon the Department of Health Services to prioritize these goals. We also called upon our state agency to connect the dots and work together on how we can protect health care coverage for people in our state. But our work can't stop there. That's why our budget will also seek to expand Medicaid in Wisconsin. According to the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau, this will enable an additional 76,000 Wisconsinites to have access to affordable health care. On top of that, this would also save Wisconsin taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars, allowing us to reallocate those cost savings to other critical programs. We have a real opportunity here, folks. And at the end of the day, Mr. Majority Leader and Mr. Speaker, health care should not be a partisan issue. You know, Republican states like Kentucky and Nebraska and Idaho have expanded Medicaid, and so have Democratic states such as Washington, California, and Minnesota. We should be able to get it done here, too. people of Wisconsin voted for a change this November and asked us to stop playing politics with their health care. That's why I'm announcing tonight that I have fulfilled the promise I made to the people of Wisconsin by directing Attorney General Call to withdraw from a lawsuit that would gut coverage for the 2.4 million Wisconsinites who have pre-existing conditions. I've said all along that I believe the best way to maintain protections for health care here in Wisconsin is to stop trying to dismantle those protections at the federal level. In addition, we're going to address Wisconsin's transportation funding crisis. I appointed Secretary Designee Craig Thompson because I know that he will work on both sides of the aisle for a solution that works for Wisconsin. I fully expect that he will be approved with the consent of the Senate. I've said all along that I believe we have to bring people together to work on this issue, and I believe Secretary Designee Thompson can get it done. In the coming days, we'll be announcing a task force of stakeholders to get to work on a bipartisan policy solution to be included in the people's budget. The task force will solicit feedback from key partners from all regions of the state, all sectors of the economy, and users of all different modes of transportation. And while I know that caucus members in both houses support different approaches to solving our transportation funding crisis, it's going to take sacrifices and compromise to find a long-term, comprehensive solution that works for everybody. But roads and bridges are only a small part of the infrastructure challenges facing our state. That's why I'm also declaring 2019 is a year of clean drinking water in Wisconsin. According to the Department of Health Services, 1.7 million Wisconsinites depend on private wells for water, and 47% of those wells do not meet acceptable health standards. Meanwhile, according to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, we have an estimated 176,000 lead service lines across our state. Removing lead service lines could cost over $2 billion. But Pew Charitable Trust estimates that for every dollar we spend on replacing lead drinking water lines, we will see a 133% return on our investment in higher lifetime earnings and better health outcomes. What a deal. That's why in the coming weeks, I'll be signing an executive order to designate a person at the Department of Health Services to take charge on addressing Wisconsin's lead crisis and to help secure federal funding for prevention and treatment programs. We have to get this done. And finally, we're going to cut taxes by 10% for everyone making up to $100,000 a year and families making up to $150,000 a year. butt. I'm sorry. But we're not going to do it by spending money we don't have, or that might not be there in 2 years. I don't make promises I can't keep, and I'm not going to propose things that we can't pay for. So instead, we're going to fund tax relief for hardworking families by capping a corporate tax, 80% of it, which goes to filers making more than $1 million per year. An economy that works for all of us, healthier communities, more money for our schools and kids, better roads and infrastructure, that is what the people of Wisconsin expect from us, and that is what the people of Wisconsin deserve. Given the challenges we face, I expect the legislature will focus on these important priorities instead of being distracted by division and preventing us from working together to get things done. You know, in the governor's conference room, inscribed on the ceiling is a phrase that reads, "The will of the people is the law of the land." The will of the people is the law of the land. That means I expect legislation arriving on my desk will be passed with broad support and the spirit of bipartisanship. That means instead of taking up an entirely new budget of its own, I expect the legislature to take up the budget I crafted by and with the people of the state of Wisconsin. I'll tell you today, as I told you a few weeks ago, that I have never been more hopeful about our state and our kids' future. I have no doubt that there will be issues on which we disagree. I have no doubt that there will be times we will be frustrated by the deliberative process of democracy and making sausage. But we will engage civilly, we will have discourse and dialogue, but it will not devolve into disrespect. And we will govern with a humble appreciation that the will of the people, our people, is the law of the land. Now, let's get back to work. Thank you, and on Wisconsin.
And so that concludes Governor Tony Evers' first State of the State address. We will be hearing a Republican response from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in just a few moments. But, Sean, we should mention and reflect on the fact that the biggest applause from Democrats in this speech came when the governor talked about directing the Attorney General to withdraw from the ACA lawsuit and expand Medicaid. he wants to expand Medicaid as well.
Yeah, if you've watched or listened to any of these speeches, you kind of know the drill. The executive who gives the speech has usually his side of the aisle cheering for some parts of it, the other side of the aisle sitting for many parts of it. That was the greatest disparity I think we saw during the speech. Democrats really erupted when the governor said he was going to direct the attorney general to drop that lawsuit that seeks to overturn the ACA. You didn't hear anything from Republicans during that. Now, some context on that. This is something that the governor campaigned on. He said he was going to do. This is something that Attorney General Call campaigned on. It was one of their biggest campaign promises. But in the lame duck session that concluded in December, that power was diminished. The governor could still direct the attorney general to drop out of a lawsuit like this, but he would need the approval of the legislature's budget committee to get it done. So what's unclear right now is whether Governor Evers is going to direct Attorney General Call to drop the lawsuit and just get out of it, let the lawsuits come, if they will, you know, because we know the Democrats oppose these lame duck laws that were passed in the December extraordinary session, or whether the governor is going to go through the process of directing Call and then asking the legislature's budget committee for their okay.
So obviously this is something to watch and look for the fine points on. But then there's also the expanding of Medicaid, which we know the Republicans are opposed to.
And on that one, you've heard Republicans say pretty consistently they don't want to go along with that. But it's going to be a big part of the governor's budget. So we know that conflict is going to be there in the upcoming session. On that issue, the governor said that he's going to keep it in the budget. Republicans have said in pretty, you know, no uncertain terms, I think you'd say, that they're not going to support it.
Right. Tony Evers calling for bipartisanship. But now we'd like to throw it to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss with the Republican response. Speaker.
Boss is from Rochester and represents the 63rd Wisconsin Assembly District. Speaker Boss has tonight's Republican response.
Hello, I'm Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. I'm honored to give the Republican response tonight. As I've traveled across our great state this past year, I've seen Wisconsin at its best. Our state and its people are thriving. In Northeast Wisconsin, Marinette Marine is expanding and building the future of our nation's naval fleet. Outside Lambeau Field, the Titletown development is taking shape and attracting visitors even in the off-season. In Milwaukee, the Fiserv Forum is having an amazing inaugural season, especially with the Milwaukee Bucks having the best record in the NBA. Throughout Wisconsin, many farmers have had their first growing season of hemp in more than 70 years. Business owners all across our state are increasing pay to meet the demand in our competitive marketplace. Wisconsin now has more jobs than people to fill them. It's clear, no matter what you've heard, the state of our state is incredibly strong. You simply can't ignore the facts, no matter how much some people want to. The Wisconsin unemployment rate is at its 11th straight month at or below 3%. Despite what we heard tonight, new businesses are up nearly 7% just this past year. We're seeing the fewest mortgage foreclosures in 18 years. Exports, many manufacturing, have increased by 3.2%. And our tourism spending now tops over $20 billion. One of my favorites, Wisconsin families now have the lowest tax burden in nearly 50 years. By any metric, Wisconsin is in great shape, and that's why economists agree that the economy is in the best shape it's been in decades. You might ask yourself, how did we get here? For the last 8 years, Republicans have worked hard to make sure Wisconsin is open for business. We cut taxes by more than $8 billion, with the property tax burden being lower today than it was even in 2011. We made investments in worker training, we froze college tuition, and we made the largest investment ever in K-12 education in actual dollars spent. Wisconsin is certainly on a roll, and I promise you Republicans are not going to allow us to slip backwards. We're committed to keeping your taxes low, the state pension fully funded, and our budget balanced. We can increase our investment in K-12 education to two-thirds funding without raising any income or any sales taxes, as it sounds like tonight some might propose. As President Ronald Reagan once said, as government expands, liberty contracts. He also said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. Let me promise you, Republicans in the legislature won't forget Ronald Reagan's sentiments. We won't let government grow out of control, and we won't let socialism take root in our state. I promise you, Republicans will fight for and protect your freedom. From unnecessary red flag gun laws to the expansion of government-run and controlled health care, we will keep spending in check, continue to focus on our successful school choice programs, and most importantly, protect the unborn. However, we know that when voters chose divided government, they certainly didn't choose inaction. In November, the voters said they want us to find ways to work together, and that's why only days after the inauguration, every single one of my Assembly Republican colleagues signed onto a letter sent to Governor Evers outlining different areas where we thought we could find common ground. It's my hope that we focus on the issues that don't divide our state. Instead, we focus on the issues that are easy to find common ground. The 11 ideas that we proposed in the letter aren't meant to be an exhaustive list, but certainly a good starting point. Things like enhancing internet access, preventing homelessness, improving foster care, and yes, cutting middle-class taxes should all be slam dunks. Wisconsinites want us to work together, and these are shared priorities that we can begin working on right away. Also this past week, Assembly Republicans moved forward on a middle-class tax cut using the governor's framework. Unlike Governor Evers' original plan, our plan doesn't raise taxes on farmers or manufacturers. It doesn't raise taxes on anyone. It simply uses the GOP surplus, almost $600 million, to pay for it. The tax cut is targeted, just as Governor Evers wanted, to families making under $150,000 and individuals making under $100,000. It saves a married couple with a median income more than $300 annually. That's real money. We can make this middle-class tax cut a reality, but we have to have a willing hand on the other side. The only bottom line that we have is we're not going to raise somebody's taxes to lower another's when there's plenty of money left to be able to do it on our own. Another shared priority is protecting the insurance coverage of pre-existing conditions. Assembly Republicans promised that it would be the first bill we passed this session, and we did it just earlier today. It was a bipartisan vote, 76 in favor and 19 against. That sure sounds like something that should go to Governor Evers' desk, and he should sign as quickly as he can. The Assembly approved this bill guaranteeing access to insurance for individuals with pre-existing conditions, regardless of what happens with Obamacare and the threat that we heard tonight to say we want to pull out of the lawsuit. The bill also eliminates any annual or lifetime cap on health insurance in Wisconsin. There should be no reason why Governor Evers doesn't sign the pre-existing condition bill that was passed with a strong bipartisan majority or approve a middle-class tax cut that he proposed and we're able to pay for with the GOP surplus. Tonight, Governor Evers said he expects the legislature to take up the budget that he crafts, quote, by and with the people of our state. We will certainly consider every idea in his budget, but unfortunately his ideas are only focusing, it seems, on one side of the aisle, not in the middle where we think we should be, and certainly not where the vast majority of Wisconsinites are. If his budget is merely a tax and spend wish list, one that would never pass our legislature, unfortunately his budget would amount to political gamesmanship, and the words of bipartisanship he said tonight would ring hollow. Every person who runs for public office wants to change their part of the world for the better. One of the first introductions into politics from myself was my sixth grade teacher in Burlington. She told me everyone in the United States has a chance to make a difference. In our system, good people often don't run for office because they want to do things, they want to be involved in the process to make the life better for their family, their friends, and their neighbors. I know Democrats want that. I know Republicans want that. I know every Wisconsinite wants that. That's why I'm so worried that hate and vitriol have become far too pervasive on social media these days. I believe it discourages people from entering the public arena and fighting for their ideas. We all want what's best for Wisconsin, regardless of party. So let's do a better job listening to one another and understanding each other's perspective. In closing, let me reiterate tonight what Republicans are going to work for over the next 2 years. We will work to keep the tax burden lower and affordable for the middle class. We will protect those with pre-existing conditions. We will make record investments in K-12 education, and we will continue to work together to move Wisconsin forward. Thank you for joining me. God bless you and your family, and God bless the state of Wisconsin.
That was Republican Speaker Assembly Speaker Robin Voss with the Republican response. If you would like to see the State of the State address or the Republican response again, you can find it later on our website at WPT.org. Now, we will also, of course, have continuing coverage this Friday on Here and Now at 7:30.
And Wisconsin Public Radio will also continue to follow developments from the Capitol. You can hear more discussions tomorrow morning from 6 to 9 on The Morning Show with Kate Archer Kent. You'll also be able to hear more coverage on Morning Edition and during our newscasts. We hope to see you back here in late February for the state budget address. I'm Sean Johnson with Wisconsin Public Radio.
And I'm Frederica Freiberg with Wisconsin Public Television. Thanks for joining us. This concludes Wisconsin Public Media's coverage of the 2019 State of the State address.